InfoTrack, the weekly show with information you should know. Here's your host, Chris Whitting.
A recent study finds a dramatic rise in pediatric behavioral health costs. Here to discuss this is senior author of the study, Kenneth Michelson, emergency medicine physician at Lurie Children's Hospital of Chicago and associate professor of pediatrics at Northwestern University School of Medicine. Doctor, your study found that behavioral health care now accounts for 40% of all medical spending for U.S. children. What initially tipped you off that something that dramatic might be happening?
You know, I work in the emergency room, and we see patients who come and are sick or injured or have mental or behavioral emergencies. And so when we're in the emergency room, we see the complete range of what is ailing kids. And I think all emergency physicians, just in our own anecdotal experience, have just witnessed the rise firsthand of how many mental health emergencies are showing up in the emergency room. And I think that has been the tip off, is we just witness it when we are taking care of patients. And we wanted to see, when we did this study, how does that correlate with the spending that's been observed? How is the healthcare system doing in terms of serving these children?
The jump from 22% in 2011 to 40% in 2022 is staggering. What factors do you think are driving that rapid increase?
I think the biggest thing is that mental health conditions have just become much more prevalent. What I mean by that is that there's more and more kids that have mental health concerns or behavioral health concerns or substance use issues. And what that translates to is that more of them are seeking care and we're spending on that care. And so it's just the rise of mental illness in children is requiring a lot more care for it and is occupying a lot of the share of medical spending on children today.
One in 21 families, according to your study, faces extreme financial burden from healthcare costs. How do you define extreme, and why is that threshold important?
We defined extreme as more than 10% of income was spent on healthcare. And so extreme financial burden means spending more than 10% of your income on healthcare, which is a huge amount of your income. It doesn't mean that they spent it all on mental health care, but what we did find was that families who had children with mental health conditions were almost twice as likely to have extreme financial burden, meaning that it was more likely to push them over to having their health care sort of lead to extreme financial burden. 10% is a huge amount. I mean, we think of needing to spend more than 25 or 30% of your income on housing as being too much to spend on housing. And just a little less than that being spent on all of your health care is a lot of your paycheck going towards health care.
Absolutely. Many families are seeking care outside their insurance networks. Why is in-network behavioral health care so difficult to access?
I think there's a variety of reasons why in-network health care is difficult to access. I mean, one thing is that you have to be able to find a provider, meaning somebody who provides care, either a doctor or a nurse practitioner or a social worker who provides mental health care. You have to find a provider who is in your network, meaning that they accept your insurance. And many providers either are out of network, meaning they only accept certain types of insurance and probably not yours, or they don't accept insurance at all. Because as a clinician, as somebody who takes care of patients, working with payers is painful. And the more payers you work with, the more of these contracts you have to negotiate, and the more providers are just throwing up their hands and saying, I just would rather the patient pay me directly. It's a lot easier. And so for patients who have insurance, whether it's Medicaid or whether it's private insurance through their employer, it's very difficult to find a provider who takes their insurance. And the ones who do have to serve everybody on that insurance. And so they've got a long line of patients who want to come to their office.
Outpatient in-person visits increased steadily, but telehealth visits exploded nearly 100% per year from 2020 to 2022. What does that say about an unmet need?
I think it says a few things. Well, the first is the most obvious, is that the pandemic really, I think, pushed healthcare in America generally to accepting telehealth with open arms, meaning that the technology really wasn't there before 2020 to provide healthcare through Zoom or through a computer or through the phone. The technology just didn't exist. It hadn't caught up yet. And so in 2020, we were faced with the need for people to be able to access healthcare through video conferencing because they couldn't leave their homes. And once that technology was there, people really liked it. And a lot of mental health care is talking, right? It's therapy, it's discussions. You don't necessarily have to as much do a physical examination of the patient. And so it really lends itself to telehealth. And so it was really not surprising to us to see that telehealth really exploded over the course of the last few years, both because the technology was there and also because I think a lot of families really preferred it because it made it more convenient to access healthcare.
Our guest is Kenneth Michelson, emergency medicine physician at Lurie Children's Hospital of Chicago and associate professor of pediatrics at Northwestern University School of Medicine. What role do state licensing and cross-state regulations play in limiting kids' access to telebehavioral health care?
I think it's huge. I mean, in order to provide care, you have to be licensed in the state where the patient is. Temporarily, those sorts of restrictions were lifted in the throes of the pandemic, but a lot of them have sort of returned. And so me as a patient in Illinois, trying to access a mental health provider who might be in, say, Maryland, it would be almost impossible for me to do so because most providers are only licensed in one state. So from a family's perspective, you'd really like to access any provider anywhere in the country who can do what you need them to do. But because of licensing restrictions, it just makes it very difficult for people to be able to cross state lines. And so you're mostly restricted to the overlap between what your insurance will cover and also what providers are licensed in the state where you are. To patients, that feels very artificial. The fact that there's a border between me and a perfectly capable provider seems artificial to families.
If reimbursement rates and regulations don't get better, what risks do you think we face in sustaining behavioral health access for kids?
I think there's a lot of opportunity that would have bipartisan support in order to create legislation that makes it easier to access providers of mental health care wherever they are throughout the country. I think that would make it a lot easier for families to access the mental health care they need. And I do think that regardless of what your beliefs are, most people support that. So I think that's really a path to being able to ease some of the burden for families to be able to find qualified providers that can give them what they need and can help them with their mental health concerns. And so on the flip side, the risk of the system that we've got, which makes it in many cases pretty hard to access mental health care, the risk is that there's children with unmet needs whose mental health problems are not being treated. And what that means is they can get worse. And then when they get worse, I think it makes it more likely that they'll reach crisis and that they'll end up having to see me in the emergency room. And I'd really like to prevent that, not because I don't want to see patients, but because I want to try to prevent kids from being in crisis.
Based on your findings, what should parents who are struggling with the behavioral health costs know or advocate for right now?
I think it's easiest to advocate for the elements of care and policy that most of us can agree on. And I think I fall back on what we spoke about before, which is mental health parity, meaning that the laws that exist to be able to provide care make it much easier to access providers wherever they are in the country, and that insurance does a better job of covering more providers. That insurance is not in the way of reaching a provider who can provide what you need, whether they are in a different state or whether they have a different type of license. If they're qualified, a patient should have an easier time of accessing them, and they should have to pay less for it out of pocket. Because ultimately, the easier it is to access qualified mental health care, the less kids will be in crisis. And ultimately, I think the less that we as a society will end up spending on it, and the healthier our kids will be.
Doctor, finally, when you step back and you look at these numbers, what do they tell you about the broader youth behavioral health crisis in America today?
I think when you just look at that bottom line number and you say 40% of spending in 2022, 40% of all healthcare spending for children was for mental health care, it tells you that roughly half of what ails kids is mental health. And so we need to be attacking this problem, I think, much more head on. And it needs to be absolutely front and center as the number one top healthcare issue facing kids. There's no other class of illnesses that accounts for this much spending and therefore this much illness.
Kenneth Michelson, emergency medicine physician at Lurie Children's Hospital of Chicago and associate professor of pediatrics at Northwestern University School of Medicine. Doctor, thank you so much for joining us today.
Yeah, my pleasure. Appreciate you taking the time.
Next, veteran psychotherapy dropout rates as InfoTrack continues.
There's more InfoTrack coming up. Stay tuned.